Good morning. Welcome to Northwoods. My name's Hope, and I'm so glad that you are here to worship with us today. Now, if it's your first time here, I want to give you a special welcome and invite you to text NEW to the number on your screen. That's actually going to send a text right to me, and I will connect with you this week and can answer any questions that you might have. Now, if you've been around Northwoods for a while, you know probably what I'm going to ask next, which is to fill out the connection card in the Northwoods app. When you're in there, you can go ahead and send in a prayer request, a comment, a question. And again, it's just another way that we would love to connect with you throughout this next week. Now, today we are carrying on in our Christmas character series, and it's so fun to be celebrating the Christmas season together. And speaking of celebrating, our annual Christmas production is right around the corner. So if you haven't gotten tickets yet, be sure to do that. They're all available online at northwoods.christmas. Invite your friends, invite your family, and enjoy the show this year. Now, I also want to let you know that this morning we will be taking communion. So now would be a great time for you to go to your kitchen and find something to represent the bread and the juice so that you can participate with us this morning. And of course, other ways that you can participate are by joining the chat and meeting others who are joining online as well. And then also, if you need prayer for anything this morning, we have our prayer team standing by. Just click on that request prayer button and look for the notification to join a chat with one of our team members. So again, I hope that you are having a great morning. I'm so glad that you're here. Let's worship together.
Hey, good morning, Northwoods. Let's stand to our feet. Let's join our voices together as we worship the Lord in song. He is worthy to receive all honor. Come on.
Without Today, we're so thankful, Jesus, that you came to earth, that you offered yourself as a sacrifice for us. We love you, Lord. We worship you in this place. Come and behold him, adore you. We love you. Church, can we lift our voices and sing? I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship. Oh, my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Let's sing that again. I love you, Lord.
Just tell the Lord again. Just tell him with your own words. Say, I love you, Jesus. Tell him you love him. Lord, we thank you today that we love because you first loved us. Jesus, thank you that you took the initiative. God, that when we were still sinners, when we were far from you, when we were in rebellion, when we did not have any love for you in our hearts, you first loved us. So Jesus, hear us tell you today, we love you. We love you. And Father, I'm asking, we are asking today in the name of Jesus, that you would give us more grace to love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. God, we want to love you greatly. We want to give you everything because you're worthy of it, and you gave everything for us. So Jesus, we bless your name in this place. Empower us, help us, help our hearts to love you more. We were made for this, Lord. We ask that today. In the mighty name of Jesus, everyone said, amen and amen. Hey, now, as you're taking your seats, turn to a couple people next to you and tell them, top of the morning. Top of the morning to you. Come on now. We're awake. We're ready. Ready to be in the Lord's house. It's good. Glad that y'all made it here on this great Sunday morning, whether here in person or online. Okay, now I got a mouthful for you today, so bear with me. But first, real quick, if you're new, we want to meet you. If you're brand new here to Northwoods, maybe it's your first time, your third time, text the number on the screen. go out to a New Here kiosk. We'd love to meet you. We want to see you actually get connected into this family here at Northwoods. And for the rest of you that are veterans, you come here all the time, remember, Northwoods app, open up that connection card. Because I'm giving you so much information today, if there's anything you missed or you go, oh man, I don't remember what he said there, that's where you can get that information again. You can just check one of those boxes in there, say, I want more information about the Christmas production, and we'll get it right to you, okay? So, first things first, Christmas is upon us. It's upon us like a rat on a Cheeto. Yeah, so I'm excited for Christmas. But there's a lot going on around here, okay? If you don't know, annually we do our big Christmas production here at Northwoods. We're doing 10 shows from December 16th to the 22nd. And yes, there's free childcare for ages 3 and under, all right? Now, I could tell you about this show if you've never been, but instead, I'm gonna show you with this little video we got.
Experience the magic, memories, and true message of Christmas. A musical production celebrating this special season. 9 free shows at Northwoods Church. December 16th through the 22nd. Details and tickets available online at northwoods.christmas.
Somebody say, come on now. It's awesome. Trust me, you need to come, okay? So here's what I'm going to tell you. 3 things I want you to do today, revolving around the Christmas production. 3 things, and I put it in an acrostic for you in Cal Ripken fashion, okay? The acrostic is GIVE, G-I-V, okay? The G is get tickets. If you haven't gotten your tickets, they're selling out super fast. Some shows, yes, are already sold out. So get tickets really quick for you, your family members. And then the I is invite people, okay? Invite those that have maybe never been to church before. They don't know anything about Jesus. They've never been to a Christmas production. Make sure you're inviting people. And then the V is volunteer, okay? If you've never volunteered to be a part of the Christmas production, I'm telling you, your eyes will be opened as to just how much work it takes to actually pull it off. And we need everything from, you know, greeters at the doors to people driving the golf carts, picking up people in the parking lot, making hot chocolate, I mean, all kinds of stuff. So, get tickets, invite people, and volunteer. Give, all right? I want you to do those 3 things today before you leave here, all right? Now, who in here is a scheduler? Who likes your calendar? Come on, raise your hands, don't be shy. There you go, all right. The rest of you, you need to get a calendar, okay? And you really need to because of all the stuff I'm gonna give you right now, okay? I'm gonna just give you a quick overview of our holiday schedule here at Northwoods, all right? So look, here's the deal. Our building is gonna be closed from December 23rd all the way to January 5th. It's gonna be closed, okay? Shutting the doors, shutting the place down for a little bit over the holidays, but December 24th, Christmas Eve, we're having a special Christmas Eve service at 6 p.m. Yes, it's going to be awesome. So bring the kids, bring the friends, get out here, join us for that, okay, Christmas Eve at 6 p.m. And then on New Year's Day, because that falls on a Sunday, we are having an online-only service. Don't show up here because, again, the doors will be shut, okay? Just join us from home, you know, on your TV, Apple TV, Roku, your laptop, wherever you can. Join us from there, okay? And then as we go into January, the first time that we meet again will be January 8th, and we will be kicking off a brand new series called House of Prayer. We're going to be talking about prayer, and we're going to be going into our 21-day fast. So eat all your Christmas cookies now, okay? Get all the leftovers in before January 8th, because then we're kicking in to the fast and leaning into prayer full gear for that month, all right? That right there is the Christmas schedule. Last thing I got to tell you is giving. Now, we always say thank you for your giving because the Christmas production is a case in point. We could not do it apart from your giving. We could not do it. Couldn't do the production. So we always want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, because your giving is what allows us to do all the ministry that we do around here, all the people that will come to Christ this December, you help make that happen because you're giving. Now, for those of you that, when we get to the year end, you are a year end giver, you like to give a year end gift, make sure those bad boys are postmarked and completed by December 31st, okay? And then if you're gonna give asset gifts like stocks, insurance proceeds, that you need to call our finance office before December 22nd, before we close our offices, okay? That's everything. Now, we're gonna do something special today, all right? We're in our series on Christmas characters, and today we're talking about Joseph. And so Josh actually has a beautiful song that he's gonna sing over us, and it's written from Joseph's perspective on the night that Jesus was born. And so as he plays, I want you to just look at the words, take it in, and try and put yourself in Joseph's shoes on that night when the Son of God was born. All right? And again, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great rest of the service.
Oh, my Jesus. Jesus, sleep tight.
Would you pray with me, church? Lord, we thank you again today for the gift of your Son. And Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes again to recapture the wonder of the season and the gift of your Son. I pray that you'd open our eyes, open our ears to hear from you this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We give it up for Josh again. That was incredible. I wish I could play the guitar like that. Well, anyways, it's so good to see you again this morning, Northwoods. Welcome to December. We are now just a few weeks away from Christmas. It's hard to believe that. And we are less than 2 weeks away, as you just heard, from the opening of our Christmas show. And I'll just kind of piggyback on what Nathan said. If you haven't got your free tickets yet, make sure you do. We have several of the shows that are already sold out. In fact, on the video there you saw it said we had 9 free shows. We actually have 10 free shows because we've added another to make more room. So make sure you're getting your tickets if you don't have those yet. And as we approach the opening night of the show, I want to just take a moment here just real quick to remind us again that this production isn't something that just the cast and crew do. You know, I used to think growing up in this church, yeah, the people on stage, that's the Christmas production is what they do. But I want to remind you, this is what we do as a church. Yes, there are people on the stage who will be a part of it, but this is what we do as a church because we, as a group of people, have a heart to help people experience complete freedom in Christ Jesus. And so each of us that calls Northwoods home, every single one of us, have a role to play in the Christmas production because this is what we do. So again, for some, the role will be in the cast and crew. For others, the role will be serving, and there's lots of opportunities to serve. If you want to serve at the Christmas production, just go to northwoods.christmas. If you go down, scroll down to the FAQs there, the frequently asked questions, there's a place where you can sign up to serve. And so there's some that are going to be out in the parking lot driving golf carts. Some that are going to be serving coffee. There's going to be some that are ushering. There's lots of ways to serve. But then I want you to understand, all of us, we all play a role through inviting and prayer. Again, you heard just heard Nathan say that. Inviting, every single one of us can play a role by inviting. Studies have shown that people are most open to attend church with somebody around the holiday season, around Christmas. So be thinking about who is it that God's placed in my sphere of influence that I could invite. So we all play a role through inviting and we all play a role through prayer. Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them." So this means again, we must be praying because unless God works in people's hearts to make the gospel proclamation effective, there will be no genuine response. And so I want to ask each of you over this next week and a half, right around there, to be praying that God would be preparing people's hearts to respond to the gospel. This is why we do the Christmas show. Yes, we want to share the joy of Christmas and the birth of Jesus with people, but we want them to know the complete freedom that Jesus can bring to their life. In fact, let's just stop right now. We just prayed, but let's just pray again real quick. Let's just stop and give the Christmas show to the Lord again. So Lord, we come before you this morning and we thank you that you have given us this vision to make much of your birth every year through the Christmas production and through these 10 free shows. And so Lord, we pray in advance that just as Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. Father, we pray that you would be drawing people to your Son, Jesus. And we pray that you would be opening people's hearts to respond to the gospel. And we pray there would be a great harvest this Christmas of souls who are saved for eternity. And we're gonna give you all the glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. So looking forward to what God's going to do through our Christmas show. Now today, as we continue In our series titled Christmas Characters, we're looking at the Christmas story through the eyes of some of the characters that surround the birth of Jesus. And we're learning what it looks like to follow the Lord. There's a lot we're learning from Mary, from Joseph. We'll talk about the shepherds, the wise men. And again, we're not looking at the characters in the story because they are the point of the story, but because ultimately they point us back to Jesus. So last week we looked at Mary, and then today we're going to look at Joseph. And you know, I was thinking about Joseph this week, and I was struck by the fact, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but it seems to me that Joseph doesn't get a lot of attention when it comes to the Christmas story. Now, you just heard a song, Joseph's Lullaby. That's a fairly modern song that's been written. But if you think about some of the most loved songs we sing at Christmas, Joseph didn't make the cut. Think about Silent Night, Round Young Virgin, Mother and Child. There isn't a line about Joseph. Again, the song's not about, it's about Jesus, but doesn't even get a line. Mary, did you know, I put a line to this, that your husband Joe would be left out of the song? He wasn't there, not in it. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, for Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. Joseph ain't it. Listen, if you go look at some of like the top 20 hymns that we sing at Christmas, Joseph's nowhere to be found. Now hear me, I'm not in any way like bashing these songs. I love them. I'm just pointing out that Joseph is often overlooked in the Christmas story. But yet, he is an integral part of the Christmas story. And as we look at his story today, we're gonna find that Joseph, I think, is an example of courage. He was courageous in what he did. You know, we could define courage as the determination to do what's right no matter the cost. Courage is the determination to do what's right no matter the cost. And let's understand that when we talk about following the Lord, there is a cost to following Jesus. And the cost is going up as our culture departs from Christianity. And so following him will require courage. And as we look at the account of Joseph, we're going to discover not only where courage comes from, but we will find three different types of courage we must exemplify in following God. So let's dive into Joseph's story. It's found in Matthew chapter 1. It's 8 verses long. And outside of this account in the book of Matthew, there's not a whole lot more said about Joseph. There's little places where you see his name, but there's not a whole lot more said about him in Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew touched on it because he was writing to a Jewish audience, so it was important to establish the genealogy of Jesus as the promised Messiah who would come through the line of King David. That's why the book of Matthew starts with the genealogy of Jesus. But after the genealogy, we get to Joseph. And as we pick up the story in verses 18 and 19, we're going to start by discovering where courage comes from. So it says, this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, there's a lot going on here that we're going to get into, but before we go on and see the types of courage that Joseph displayed, and ultimately, I mean, we know the end of the story, he takes Mary home to be his wife, I want to show you where courage comes from. You know, some think that courage is just innate. It's something that some people are born with, so there's some people who are courageous, and then there's everybody else. But I think the Bible teaches us that courage is really, it's almost a byproduct of something. A byproduct of what? Well, let me show you. It says here that Joseph was faithful to the law. Other translations will say he was a righteous man or a just man. So we can infer that Joseph was a God-fearing man. He knew the Lord's, he was careful to keep God's law. He was a man who spent time with the Lord. And here's the connection I want you to see. Courage is the byproduct of spending time with the Lord. We also see this in the New Testament. Look at Acts 4:13. Peter and John have been arrested, but they preached with boldness to the Sanhedrin. And after hearing them preach, look at what it says. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men. These aren't the type of men you would think would be courageous. Not the types you'd think were just born to be, you know, full of courage. These are unschooled, ordinary men. It says they were astonished and noted that these men had been with Jesus. I think courage is the byproduct of spending time with the Lord. So from the outset, let's be clear, the courage to stand for Jesus, courage to follow Jesus, the courage to stand for Jesus comes out of first sitting with Jesus. And by sitting, I mean spending time in prayer, worship, scripture reading. Courage is not something you're born with. I believe it's a byproduct of spending time in the Lord's presence, which means every single one of us can be courageous. I'm thankful for that because I'm not someone who would tend to fall in like you look at them and go, oh, that's a courageous person right there. I can tend to be on the side of fearful. Now, fear and courage, like courage, just because you're fearful doesn't mean you can't be courageous, but I want you to understand, every single one of us, I don't care what you think about yourself, you can be courageous. You spend time with the Lord, you find that courage begins to rise up in you. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of might, strength. You can be courageous. So now that we know where courage comes from, let's read the rest of the account, and we're going to discover the three types of courage it'll take to follow God. So let's continue reading. It says, but after he had considered this, so Joseph had had in mind to divorce her quietly, after he had considered I love that Joseph did not make a decision just in his anger. It says he considered this. Something for us to consider. We should never make decisions when we find that we're angry. After he considered this, he thought about it. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet and through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now let's pause here for a moment. This is just kind of a side note here. This tells us that Jesus was fully God and fully man in one person and will be forever. Some people say Jesus was just a man. But what's the word say? It says God with us. Jesus was fully God. He is God with us. Others think that since he's God, he's unable to empathize with us in our struggles because he just hasn't been through what we've been through. But the reality is that Jesus experienced life as a human, and anything you've experienced, he has as well. I love how Tim Keller stated it in his book, Hidden Christmas. He had this to say about Jesus. He said, have you been betrayed? Have you been lonely? Have you been destitute? Have you faced death? So is he. Some say, you don't understand. I've prayed to God for things and my prayers went unanswered. Well, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus cried out, Father, may this cup be taken from me. And he was turned down. Jesus knows the pain of unanswered prayer. Some say, I feel like God has abandoned me. What do you think Jesus was saying on the cross when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Here's the point. Jesus, in his humanity, has been through, knows what you're going through. He's experienced it and has the power to comfort, strengthen, and bring you through. He is Emmanuel, fully God, fully man in one body, and he is with us, God with us. Let's continue reading. It says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. Just simple obedience. and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now, I want to show you the three types of courage it takes to follow God, but I also want to add one more thing, because I felt this on my heart this morning as I was reading this again. I think there's a lot to be said here for marriage. If you think about Mary and Joseph, Mary, we talked about last week, gets visited by an angel, says you're going to give birth to a son. It's going to be God's son. Joseph finds out, says he found out that she was pregnant, and he's like, I'm going to divorce her quietly. So Mary and Joseph, they are on the same page. But I want you to understand, when you make God the center of your relationship, he has a way of making sure that you're unified. Because Joseph was thinking, I'm going to divorce her. And by the end of it, the Lord speaks to him, and now we're on the same page. And I just want to tell you, if you're married, I found this to be true in my own relationship. Sometimes there are times when you're going to have disagreements, right? You're going to disagree about something. You just find, we cannot get on the same page. And many times what happens is I begin trying to figure out, how can I change my wife? And she's thinking the same thing. How can I change him? But here's what I found. You know what? If you just keep God the center of your relationship, and instead of focusing on trying to change them and just seeking the Lord, he has a way of bringing you together. He has a way of working things out. Thank God. And he did it in this story. It didn't take Mary coming to Joseph and saying, Joseph, you got to believe me. You got to believe me. If it was just that, he's headed for divorce. But the Lord speaks to him because they kept the Lord the center of their relationship. You keep the Lord the center of your relationship, and he will continually bring you back and unify your hearts. Now, as we say, kind of for free, but in this account, I want to show you now the three types of courage it takes to follow God. We find this from Joseph. Here's type number one, the courage to give up your rights. The courage to give up your rights. I want you to look back at the text. It says that this is how the birth of Jesus came about. Mary was pledged to Joseph before they came together. She was found to be pregnant. I wonder how she was found. Like Joseph, did he just kind of figure it out? Did she say it? Did she talk to him about it? And it says he had in mind to divorce her quietly. So think about this from Joseph's shoes, or we might say from his sandals, okay? He has just been engaged. He's excited. You know, if you've been engaged, you think back, you're engaged, there's excitement. This is going to be so exciting. We got the rest of our life in front of us. He goes from excitement to shock. Mary is found to be pregnant. Now, at this point in the story, he hasn't been visited by an angel yet. So imagine for him hearing from Mary, whom he's trusted to be faithfully committed to him, coming and saying, I'm pregnant and it's God's son. God's son? I'm supposed to believe that you're pregnant with God's son? Really? Not only is this laughable, but it's hardly believable. And it's pretty clear, Joseph, he didn't believe it because he's going to divorce her. So for Joseph, I want you to understand, at first this is going to feel like betrayal. So he has every right to feel angry, betrayed, bitter. Also, he has a few other rights. Suppose a betrothed bride was found to have committed adultery. Joseph would have had the right to take her before the religious authorities and make a public example of her and get the dowry money that was given to her family was paid for her. That's why it says he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He could have done this. This was his right in this culture. The other right would have been to divorce her quietly, which is where he was headed, which he considered doing. But then I think this is funny. There's still more. Because after being visited by the angel tells him what he will name the child. Ever had anybody tell you, like, here's what you're going to name your child? You know, scholars tell us that in that culture, it was the father's absolute right to name the child. Naming was the right of the father and a sign of his covering over the family. But the angel says, okay, here's the name, Jesus. In other words, you don't get to choose the name. It's already been decided. So I want you to just think about all that. In Joseph's eyes, he has the right to feel angry, betrayed, and bitter. He had the right to divorce Mary. And as someone raising the child, he might have felt that he had the right to name the child. But yet, Joseph displays courage in giving up his rights and embracing this responsibility. What responsibility? God's saying, I want you to be responsible for helping to raise my son. You know, in our day and age, we are consumed with knowing and enforcing our rights. I know my rights. Now listen, I'm not saying it's wrong to appeal to our rights as a citizen of the U.S. The Apostle Paul, he appealed to his rights as a Roman citizen. But we're talking about the kingdom of man. What I'm talking about is the kingdom of God. As a citizen of the kingdom of God, it's less about rights and more about responsibilities. We choose to give up our rights and embrace our responsibilities. So for example, someone hurts you, says something hurtful to you, you might feel you have the right to be angry and bitter. And I wanna pursue justice, but following Jesus means giving up the right to anger and bitterness and embracing the responsibility to forgive. You know, the list could go on. We give up our right to do whatever we want with our bodies and embrace the responsibility of stewarding our bodies, our health, and our sexuality in a God-honoring way. We give up our right to be the final authority in our life. I know, you know, for many who are not Christians, this sounds crazy. Well, you give up the right to the final authority in your life? Yeah, because you know what? As a follower of Jesus Christ, my responsibility, our responsibility, is to surrender to God and his word as the final authority. If his word says it, it's settled. He's the authority. So we find from Joseph's story, it took courage to give up his rights and embrace responsibility. And it's the same today. Following God will take courage to give up your rights. And we could say embrace your responsibilities. So here's type of courage number two we see in Joseph. Courage to be faithful in the midst of our fears. Again, look back at the story. After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Now I want you to notice the angel tells Joseph, do not be afraid. Joseph has some fears. This tells us that courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is choosing to move forward in the midst of our fears. You know, my dad used to always tell us the John Wayne quote. I've heard it so many times, I can never forget it. Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyways. You remember that. Now, what might Joseph have been afraid of? Well, I can think, off the top of my head, fear of what his family and friends might think. Fear of, am I going to be enough to do this? I mean, we're talking about raising God's son. I think one of the biggest fears that would be weighing on him is probably the fear of the unknown. What's all going to come along with raising God's son? I want you to see that, you know, Joseph's situation was similar to Mary's in what we talked about last week, in that God does not reveal the entire picture to him. He just says, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. That's all Joseph gets. If I'm Joseph, I'm saying, okay, I get you're saying that, but how do I raise God's son? Like, this has never been done before. How do I do this? How do I explain this to people? Like, I just go around and say, yeah, we're raising God's son. They're just supposed to accept that? How is this interruption going to impact my life? Because I had kind of a plan for how this was going to go here, and now it's like I'm raising God's son. How is this going to impact me? I'm guessing he had all kinds of questions. I mean, wouldn't you if you were in that situation? But the angel said, don't be afraid to take her home. She's going to give birth to God's son. So I want you to think of it this way. I talked a little bit about this last week, but I want to say it in a different way today. I want you to think about a puzzle. I was going to bring a puzzle up here with me today, but I just frankly forgot to bring it. Think about a puzzle. When you put a puzzle together, you start with a clear picture. You have the picture, and then you take the pieces, and you're putting them together according to the clear picture. I want you to understand, with God, it's the exact opposite. You don't get a clear picture. You get pieces, and as you are faithful in putting together what you have day by day by day, over time, clarity comes, and the picture comes into focus. So you understand, it's the exact opposite of what we might think. We don't get a clear picture. So what do? We choose to be faithful in putting what we know together day by day. And over time, as we do this, as we are faithful, as we step out in faith, God reveals more. And we get clarity. We get the picture comes into view over time. So one example, you know, God asks us to be generous with our finances. We say, well, God, let's, you know, if I give 10% of my finances back to you, that means I only have 90% to live on. And how is 90% going to cover 100% of what I need? But all God says is be faithful and trust me. I'll take care of you. And I can show you countless people in this church who have shared with me that somehow, I love when people say this, 90% with God or 80% with God or 70% with God somehow goes a lot further than 100% without him. This is how it works with God. We don't get the clear picture. We get the pieces and put together what we know. And so many times when we just got a few pieces, it can lead to fear. And Joseph experienced that, but he acted with courage and stepped out in faith in the midst of his fear. And it's no different with us. Following the Lord will require courage to be faithful in the midst of fear. Now let's talk about the last type of courage we see Joseph display. And here it is, type number three, the courage to be misunderstood. Courage to be misunderstood. So Joseph has this angelic dream. He's visited by an angel in his dream. When he woke up, it says in the Bible, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. And he took Mary home as his wife. So he has this dream and when he wakes up. Again, it's just, he's obedient. Okay, I'm doing it. Now again, we read it and just say, okay, you know, he said, I'm in. But let's stop to consider what Joseph was signing up for. Daniel Darling, a prolific speaker and seminary professor, had this to say when writing about Joseph. He said, this was no easy assignment. In marrying Mary, he would be subject to endless scrutiny. If you think he reacted strangely at first to Mary's conception by the Holy Spirit, how well do you think others in his immediate circle would react? Unlike Joseph, they would not have the benefit of an angelic visit. They'd either have to take his word or they'd reject him. You know, also scholars tell us that people are going to know that this child was not born 9 months after their marriage. Nazareth is a small town, right? It's one of those towns that you don't see on the map. You got to zoom way in. One of those towns that they don't have a Walmart supercenter, right? That's how I kind of define a small town. If you don't got a Walmart, you're a small town. One of those towns you only visit if you know someone. This is a small town, and things are going to get around. So people will know this child was conceived during the betrothal period, which means either one of two things. Joseph and Mary were sexually intimate during their betrothal stage, which was frowned upon. Or number two, Mary was unfaithful and had an affair. So Joseph's decision to follow the Lord's command was a choice to embrace being misunderstood by the people around him. He's going to be misunderstood. And I want you to understand, it's the same for us today. You follow the Lord, there's going to be times where you're going to be misunderstood. And following Jesus, you will be misunderstood. Why? Well, let me use a football analogy for a moment, okay? Bears and Packers play today. So growing up, I was blessed to have been able to go with my dad several times to Packer games in Green Bay. And as a Packer fan in Green Bay, it seems like almost everyone around you is a Green Bay Packer fan. In the stadium, everyone is your best friend. Like you end up hugging and high-fiving people you never met. This is what I thought it was like to go to football games. But then I went several years later to a Green Bay game against their fierce rival, the Chicago Bears, in Chicago. And I realized for the first time that the Packers are viewed very differently in Chicago. I don't know why I had just never taken this into account. You know, I've seen shirts being sold outside the stadium, and understand what I'm saying, it goes both ways, okay? I'm just speaking from the perspective of a Packer fan. I've seen shirts being sold outside the stadium that say things like, I support two teams, the Chicago Bears and whoever beats the Packers. I've seen them breathe if you hate the Packers. I'm like, you know, my personal favorite that I've seen many times is Jesus hates the Packers. Now listen, again, to be fair, they're selling the same kind of shirts in Green Bay about the Chicago Bears. But as a kid, it was a little bit unsettling. The first game I went to in Chicago, I realized I'm in a non-Packer world. In Green Bay, you could talk all day about the Packers. You might argue about a coaching decision or a certain player, but at the end of the day, you're on the same side for the Packers. But after that visit to Chicago, I realized you couldn't just walk up into Chicago wearing a Packers jersey and a cheese head, yelling, go Pack, go, and have everyone just embrace you with open arms. Wasn't going to happen. So here's my point. For a long time in our country, we've had the pleasure of living like a Packer fan in the middle of Green Bay. You're embraced. Everyone thinks like you. But today, all of that is changing. As a Christian, you're becoming similar to a Packer fan in the middle of Chicago. Now, if it helps you with the analogy, you can reverse it and say you're becoming more like a Bears fan in the middle of Green Bay. But the point is, you're going to be misunderstood. That comes with following Jesus. You believe there's only one way to God? You believe in traditional biblical marriage? That's so old school, that's so out of date. You believe there's only two genders? You're crazy. You believe the Bible is the inspired word of God and let it be the final authority in your life? That's pretty whack. You believe God can speak to people? You're delusional. You ever told someone like, you know, I know what I'm doing right now just doesn't really make sense in the natural, but the Lord's told me this and I'm stepping out in faith. To some people, it just looks like you're an idiot. But you know, this is what it means to follow the Lord. It means sometimes you got to step out in faith and it won't make sense to everyone around you. You're going to be misunderstood. That comes with the territory. That's why we need courage to be misunderstood. Joseph would have known that signing up for this assignment would cause him to be misunderstood. But he was courageous. And just like Joseph, we must have the courage to be misunderstood. You want to follow God? Want to follow with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength? It's going to require courage. And again, courage isn't something that just a few of us have. All of us can be courageous. It starts with spending time in the Lord's presence. And you spend time with him, you will find that you have the courage to give up your rights and embrace your responsibilities. You have the courage to be faithful in the midst of your fears. And you have the courage to be misunderstood. Now, we're going to close our time together this morning with communion. So if you have a communion cup, your elements, you can take those out now. Now, I heard recently I was listening, I was actually reading another pastor writing on communion, and one of the practices he laid out in his book was very impactful to me. And I want to walk you through this real quick before we partake. He talked about kind of four steps we should go through anytime we come to the Lord's table and take communion. I want to walk you through these real quick this morning. So the first step we take is we look inward. So as we come to the Lord's table, we look inward. That means prior to receiving communion, we ought to look inward. The Bible tells us to examine ourselves and ask the Holy Spirit to search us and ensure that we have no hidden sin in our lives. So I want you to take a moment. I want you to just look inward. Is there any hidden sin in my life right now that I need to bring before the Lord and repent of? Look inward. Then I want you to look outward. Are there any relationships in your life as you look out that maybe you're holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness? As we come to the table, we're reminded that Christ forgave us. So we also should forgive others. Is there anyone in your life right now that you need to forgive? Is there anyone in your life, any relationship where the ball is in your court when it comes to reconciling? Now, there's some relationships where you've done everything the Lord's asked you to do and it still hasn't been reconciled. That's okay. You keep praying about that. But if the ball's in your court, what's it look like for you? Many times that's choosing to forgive. Is there someone you need to forgive? Maybe even right now you just say, Lord, I choose to forgive. You just name the person for this. Maybe there's someone you need to go to after the service. You know, just yesterday I was out for a run. And as I was running, the Lord put on my heart, John, you have not been understanding towards your wife. You need to go home and apologize. I was in the wrong. I had to go home and say, Michaela, I am so sorry. Will you forgive me? I have not been understanding towards you. Is there anyone in your life you need to do that with? So you look inward. You look outward. And then we look upward. We take a moment to meditate upon the victory Jesus accomplished for us at the cross. We might just thank him and praise him that he has redeemed us from the curse of sin. Thank you, Jesus. We look upward and then we look onward. Meaning we look ahead with expectancy and thanking the Lord because of his continual empowerment. And we are empowered as we come to the table. And we thank him that because of his empowerment, we're going to fulfill our God-given assignment. The Bible says in Psalm 139, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. You understand, God has a plan for your life. And so as we come to the table, we say, thank you again, Lord, that you are imparting life to me to live out your plan for my life. So we look inward, outward, upward, and then we look onward. And as we do that, we've prepared ourselves to come to the table. So let's you can take that top layer off. Again, the bread represents Christ's body that was broken for us. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake together. And as we come to the cup, again, the cup represents the blood of Jesus that was poured out at the cross. And it says, in the same way after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. All right, church, and now as we close, if you would, let's stand together, let's pray. Lord, again, we thank you this morning for the gift of your Son, and we thank you for the sacrifice. His sacrifice. We thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice at the cross. Thank you for taking the death that because of our sin, we deserved. Thank you for that, Lord. And Jesus, I thank you that because you were courageous in following the Father's plan, I thank you that we also can be courageous. And Lord, I thank you that courage is contagious, and that as we stand together and courageously follow you, that courage is going to rise up in those who are around us, that courage is going to rise up in our children, that courage is going to rise up in the next generation, that as they see a generation standing strong for you, they will also stand. I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray that just like we find with Joseph, that we would have the courage to follow you all the days of our life, Lord. And Lord, I thank you that you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind, Lord. I thank you for that, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray blessing over your people. I pray blessing over every person under the sound of my voice today. And we're going to give you all the praise and we're going to give you all the glory. And it's in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Come on. Thank the Lord again for what he's done this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Church, so good to be together this morning. As I always say, if you need prayer for anything this morning, we would love to pray with you. We'll have a prayer team down front. Those of you watching online, we also have a prayer team online. We would love to pray with you. Hope you have a great Sunday.
Thank you again for being here with us today. Like Pastor John said, if there's anything that you need prayer for, click on that request prayer button and one of our team members will be praying for you right away. I hope that you have a really awesome week. And again, don't forget to get your tickets for the Christmas show. It's going to be awesome. We've had so much fun preparing this production just for you. So get those tickets this week and we'll see you next Sunday.